Thank you. I was afraid I was going to have to leave there for a minute. A lot of you have been asking about my husband, Bill, and how he's doing with his knee replacement. And just to let you know, he's doing really, really well. In fact, he was in physiotherapy the other day, and he said to the girl, you know, she started to work on his knee, and he said, "Come on, bend it further, push harder, come on, put your muscles into it, you can do this." And she looked at him and she said, "Really? Aren't you scared it's going to hurt?" He said, "No, it's the wrong leg." I know. Good sense of humor, that guy of mine, huh? So I have a question for you this morning. What brings you joy? What brings you joy? You know that delightful little leap in your heart that causes your heart to swell? I asked Bill what brought him joy, and I thought he'd say steak and onions. But no, on a serious note, he just said, "No, my grandbabies and interacting with them." And actually all babies, not just mine. Isn't that the cutest thing? He continued, "And routine that allows time with the Lord and the day going forward being filled with his presence." Wow, I was really impressed. And he continued, "And when I see God at work in a difficult situation, it brings me joy." I thought, amen to that. I think he was reading my thoughts, to tell you the truth. And me, what brings me joy? Well, little birds and kittens and baby animals of all kinds and children, especially from other nations, because they're so darling and so cute. And my own precious grandbabies, of course. But it makes me think and remember my first son. I remember he was 2.5 years old. You know, he took a little toilet roll. And he put a toggle switch on it. He took a toy car. He took the motor out of it, stuck it in it, put a popsicle stick on the end of it, and that was an airplane that the propeller worked. Just a little tiny baby. Smart little gaffer, and he had these big hazel eyes and long eyelashes to die for. My second son, I can remember him, and I think of him and brings me joy just remembering him. His little feet and his hands would go like this, like crazy, every time he heard water. He absolutely adored water. And here he was, this little baby in this little seat. And he just was so happy all the time and laughing and smiling. My third son, he was a little different. He had the spiky up hair he's born with and big blue eyes and just that natural brush cut. And bouncing, running, jumping, hitting, pounding his brothers, getting the best of them, always into mischief, never stopped, constant perpetual movement. And my fourth son was born with a kissable curl. He had a big black curl right here, right in the middle of his forehead. So cute, and so sweet and gentle. He still is, thoughtful, helpful, patient. And then my fifth son, hey, aren't you glad he didn't have 10? My fifth son is part of our blended family. And he looks at his wife of many years, and he's so tender and so loving as he looks at her. Their interaction, they don't even have to say words. And they've been together for years and years and years. And it's like, oh, you are so sweet. They just, pure love one for another. So tender and gentle. Well, that all brings me joy. But also, when God turns an utter mess into a marvel, that brings me joy. When God answers my prayers in his own incredible, unique way, I'm so glad, you know, to learn the lesson to not dictate and tell God what to do, but say, "God, you know whatever it is you want to do and you need to do, just do it. It's all good with me." I have joy when God speaks to my heart from his word, answering my deepest questions and concerns when I really need to know something. I have joy when God gives me a rhema from his word, a treasure just for me today. I have joy when marriages that are doomed to destruction come back together, and joy when God saves a lost soul, joy when God baptizes a new believer, like how exciting is that, and refreshes a worn out warrior, or brings together a couple in love around his word, or anybody around his word. How wonderful is that? And I have joy when I can share the word in speaking, writing, counseling, reading a book on revival or prayer, a Christian biography or a medical book written by a Christian. That's the best ever, isn't it? and I have joy eating grapes, cherries, and ice cream. But these kinds of joy are just snippets of joy, built on memories and love and fulfilled memories, right? Joy for the moment or an hour or a day, a memory relived over and over again. But the joy I want to talk to you about today is a forever joy. It's a God-given forever joy that lasts and never leaves. A joy found deep in your heart that regardless of the turmoil and trouble all around you, it cannot be touched. That's the joy I want to talk about. So let's begin with this question. Who here has given birth? Did it hurt? So why do we have children? Like, when it's going to hurt? Who for the joy set before him? You know that someday grandchildren are going to come and that part is going to be pure bliss, right? Why do we put up with the pain of childbearing? Just one reason. Joy comes in the morning. It does. And we forget it so easily, that pain. Praise God. But we put up with that pain because of that precious little bundle of joy that we get to keep. Well, I had a friend in high school who wouldn't date a guy unless he was rich. And in those days, rich meant you had a ghetto blaster. Well, she thought if he had a ghetto blaster and maybe access to a car, he was definitely rich. If he didn't have a ghetto blaster, she wouldn't date him. And she said she would never marry a guy unless he was rich. Well, I said ghetto blasters and cars, they don't mean anything to me, but I'd never have kids that hurt too much. Well, I ran into her 10 years later. We were driving down the highway outside of the Sioux, and some farmers' cows were loose all over creation, like crossing the highway and everything. So we stopped at the closest house to let them know to get hold of whomever the cows belonged to, and there she was, a farmer's wife. And she milked 24 cows twice a day. And I married and had 5 kids. Go figure. Who for the joy set before us, we endure the pain. We despise the shame we have to go through at the moment. But soon the pain is all forgotten. Well, I had a young woman at my house this week. Kim, her name is. You might even know her. I won't give the last name. But she was terrified of the pain that was going to come because she was about to have a baby. And I asked her, when are you due? She said, tomorrow. Needless to say, we had a little time of prayer before she left. But she will forget the pain, and she'll go on to have many more children, probably. You know, I have 2 friends that have 9 kids. Isn't that amazing? My hypothesis is this, that you have as many kids as it takes so that when you get old, they take care of you, somebody within the group, you know. I probably should have had 12 just to be safe. But seriously, compare our having children to this scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. We already know the joy that comes from having little babies. But Jesus knew full well when he went to the cross, the joy that would come to him from having us. You and me, his children, his very own particular and peculiar, some more so than others, children. And have you ever thought of this? This is the most amazing thing ever. Ladies, sisters, we are his joy. We are his joy. That's amazing. We are his wonderful, incredible, most blessed joy. We, the children of God, are the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for us that he endured the pain. And how did we get to be his joy? Jesus was whipped and scourged and beaten and nailed and pierced and stabbed and ignored and hated, blasphemed, spit on, and he did it all for us, right to the point of death. He died for all mankind, for every single person on this planet, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I hate to think about which one I fall under. The evil, the mean, the wonderful, he died for every one of them. Even those who would never choose him, he still died for them. The caveat is this. He did die for everyone, but still, they had to choose him. They had to choose him in order to become children of the living God and become his ultimate joy. He does not push himself on people. He only wants you if you want him, and he wants you to be his joy. Why would he want anyone to be part of his heavenly family if they do not want to be part of his? Actually, truth be told, he wants everyone. His word states he would that none would perish, not a one. Yet he has put laws in effect that if one does not choose him before their lives are gone, they are none of his. I heard last night, Bill and I listened to Adrian Rogers at bedtime when we go to sleep, and he said last night there's only two kinds of people in the world, the ones that choose God and the ones that don't choose God, the God choosers and the God losers, really. We must desire him in our lives. Do you realize that he could have stopped that incredible pain he endured at any moment of time with a snap of his fingers? He could have stopped it. He didn't. Why? Because of the joy that would one day be his, because of us in heaven together with him forever and ever. It was his plan all along to rescue a dying, sin-filled world, to bring new life to the brokenhearted, hope to the hopeless, health to the brokenhearted, the broken bodies, truth to the truth seekers, and all part of this wonderful thing called joy, from the very heart of God to usward. Now this, honestly, is utterly amazing to me. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I couldn't believe it. It's just one of those incredible things that you never hear. You hear it once in a lifetime. It's like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, this is it. Did you know that when a mother is expecting a baby, that tiny little baby within her will have some of the mother's DNA and some of the father's DNA, but it's not her blood that flows in that baby's veins? Do you see where I'm going here? It's the father's blood only that flows within the child's veins, thus the DNA test taken sometimes to determine paternity, right? Well, when the Holy Spirit overcame Mary and impregnated her, some of his DNA, some of God's DNA, some of Mary's DNA was in Jesus. But it was God's blood that flowed through his veins. It was God's blood. Isn't that amazing? It was God's blood that dripped on the cross. That's why only God and only God can save us. He was and is the perfect Lamb of God. Do you see why? His blood is unlike the blood of any baby that ever existed. Do you see why one single tiny itsy-bitsy drop of God's blood could do anything God wanted it to do? Isn't that amazing? And not just for then, but for tomorrow, for the past, the future, and the present. You know what blows my mind? Jesus, being God, could have said one word and the entire world would have been healed. Jesus could have said one word and the world could have been delivered from its demons, every single person in the entire world. Jesus could have said one word and there would be there would be no hunger, no suffering, no illness, etc., everywhere, ever, anywhere, ever, I should say. So why didn't he? The world is a testing ground. It's a temporary situation. And God, in all his knowing, his glory, and his mercy, gave us choice. He gave us freedom of choice. He could have been a dictator. He's not. He chose instead to be a heavenly, loving Father. You see, with choice, we get the result of the fallen world and everything that's in it. We choose God or deny God, we repent or we don't repent, and we get our reward. Choose rightly, no more hunger, suffering, or pain forever, one day. Choose forever and ever, joy forever and ever. That's the plan. Every day is a new day in our lives, and joy comes in the morning, and it's never too late to choose Christ. I mean, unless you're on your deathbed and you've already died. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that he will not forgive. This is so important, ladies. So many people come to me and say, oh, God could never forgive me. I did this, I did that. No, that's a lie from Satan, a lie from the enemy. There is nothing. Saul had Christians persecuted, imprisoned, and killed. He was forgiven. The woman at the well had five husbands. She was forgiven. David committed adultery and had her husband killed in battle, and he was forgiven. I must say, though, they suffered the consequences of their sin in life. Nevertheless, they were forgiven by God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we are forgiven too. Of course, we need to ask and sincerely repent from the depths of our heart. You know, I remember when Ruth asked me to speak on joy, I thought, oh, Ruth, joy, don't you have something with a little bit more meat on it? But you know what? Honestly, ladies, it has been an incredible joy to think on joy every single day since then. And I can't get joy out of my mind, and I don't want to either. And being asked to speak on joy has brought me incredible joy. It's been so fun. And I never thought of how many great joys, I never even thought about it before. How many great joys are in my life? It's just so awesome. And the biggest shock to me of all, getting out my Bible, looking up the word joy. Do you know joy is in the Bible 157 times? And they are beautiful passages. I read every one of them and just cherished them. It was amazing. And I'm excited to tell you, joy is awesome. Anyway, so what is joy? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not despair. Here's my personal interpretation. Joy is peace in the inner sanctum of the heart that no one and no thing can take away. It comes from God, and all good gifts come from God, right? Although some situations are joyful temporarily, real joy stays, lasts, belongs, and becomes part of who we are, and no one can take it away. Doesn't matter the circumstances. That bears repeating. Joy is peace in the inner sanctum of our hearts that no one and no thing can ever take away. Why? Because joy, real joy, is actually planted there by God himself. Joy is a deep, abiding peace that neither withers nor shrinks, but blossoms and grows. Joy is a knowing that regardless of everything that we see with our natural eyes, turmoil, chaos, difficulties, problems, and situations, they're all temporal. Because we are his joy. We are his joy. But guess what? Another one of those, never forget this either, ladies. Not only are we his joy, he is our joy. He is our joy. Do you want the peace that passeth understanding? Joy unspeakable and full of glory? You may have it. His name is Jesus. Do you want joy? Do you want to leave here today filled with joy, ladies? Yeah, okay. Would you follow me in a very short prayer? Would you follow me and repeat these words after me? Jesus, I want that unspeakable joy and full of glory. I invite you right now into my heart and life. And I ask you to fill me with your joy. A joy that will never leave. I believe you are the Holy Son of God. Forgive my sins. Fill me with your presence. Be my joy, and I'll be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now let me leave you with an absolute treasure from God about joy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we all need that strength. Well, about 20 years ago, it can't be longer than that because I'm not that old. I came across an old book written by a doctor. It's not one of these modern ones that you see in the bookshelves in the Christian bookstore. But in that book was a marvelous, and I couldn't find it. I went through my bookshelves and I couldn't find it to get the exact name of the doctor. But nevertheless, I'll tell you the premise behind it. But in that book was a marvelous chapter called Prescription for Joy, relating to the 23rd Psalm. Well, the doctor really had my attention when he said he had used this prescription hundreds of times for patients who were in despair, despondent, depressed, etc. Well, in fact, truth be told, he would literally take out his prescription pad and write the following prescription and give it to the people. Well, the 23rd, and here's what he would write, 23rd Psalm, read and meditate on 5 times a day for 3 weeks. Then he promised them that if they would do as directed, they would be filled with joy before the 3 weeks were up, and to his knowledge, it had never failed to produce results. Well, I too have used it many times to help an overwhelmed or depressed person, including Bill and I have done it a couple of times through the years, and it does work. Why? God's word does not return void. Why? God's word is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Why? God puts special blessing scripture in the Bible just for his precious children. Why? When you read something comforting from the Bible and about God, it comforts you. And ultimately, because God really does love us and he really does want us to be filled with joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, one night, a nurse had her second floor apartment broken into, and a stoned delinquent man entered her bedroom and actually literally sat on the bed, just stoned out of his mind. And she was terrified. And she left the room. She actually got up. She was there in her nightgown, got up, went to the phone, called the police, and they came immediately and arrested him and took him away. That was fine. He was gone. They put bars on her windows on that second floor apartment, but she did not feel safe. She cried. She couldn't sleep. She couldn't work. She hadn't worked for weeks. But anyway, one day she came into my office, and it had been weeks and weeks since she'd been able to return to work. And she was so overcome with fear. And you know the song, I've Been Everywhere, Man? Well, she had been everywhere for help. She'd been to counselors. She'd been to the pastor of her church. She'd been on a waiting list for special counseling from the hospital. She had seen a psychiatrist, but nothing had helped so far. I gave her the prescription for joy, prayed, of course, and sent her home to fulfill that prescription for joy. A few other tiny health tips, like stop eating sugar, don't have sugar for breakfast, take a 10-minute walk this way and a 10-minute walk that way every morning and back, and do the prescription for joy. Well, here's what I told her. Read and meditate on the 23rd Psalm, first thing in the morning, prior to lunch, mid-afternoon, prior to supper, and last thing before bed. Do not just say it from memory. Read it and meditate on it. That's the secret. That's what's important. And I gave her some background. Here's most of the background I gave her at the time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Note that he is my shepherd. It's personal. He's ours. He's individually ours. I shall not want. Why? Because the God of all there is our shepherd. And we are his sheep, and a little dumb, I might add. We need his help every day. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. If a good shepherd does not force the sheep to lie down, they will simply exhaust themselves by continually wandering. So he forces them to lie down. There are times that we run in circles too, and the Lord makes us lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Did you know that sheep will not drink out of running water? The shepherd often will, if there's running water and that's all the water there is, he'll make a little tributary and come off that running water like this. And at the bottom of it, there'll be a little pool that will be still waters. And in those still waters, the sheep will drink from that. But anyway, more than that, how would you like to go swimming with a great big fat fur coat on? And that sheep would just sink if he got caught in that running waters. Instinctively, they know that. Don't do it. Now, the most important sentence, oh my goodness, here's another one of those great things.
this is the, in my estimation, this is the most important sentence in the entire Bible. He restoreth my soul. Oh, we could do a whole thing on that, Ruth. But God has gone at this point from talking about the sheep to the person. Sheep do not have souls. We do. God restores our souls. Nothing else can restore our souls. No one, nothing in life can truly restore us to wholeness and fullness and completeness except the Lord our God. Our God infuses life, hope, help, and truth into our hearts, minds, and souls, and only He can do that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake's. I'm sorry. Getting close here. Does He not? We are His and He is ours, and He is the path of righteousness. He leads us. Why? For His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you know that in Israel there is a literal valley of the shadow of death? It is very steep and craggy and dangerous. And there's many shepherds take that path and take their sheep along that path. And it's only by the tender, loving care of that shepherd that keeps and protects the lives of the clumsy little sheep and who don't know that they're even in danger. But us, we can walk right through and into the shadow of death, and we need not ever fear. We need not ever fear because He is our shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The crook of the staff catches that little stumbling sheep and pulls him back up so he doesn't fall down into the deep crevice. And the shepherd's rod sometimes and the staff chastise or helps. And even that brings us comfort in time. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, how the shepherd prepares a place to eat for his sheep surrounded by poisonous weeds. Do you know that he goes in before the sheep are going to eat in that little tiny space he gives them, and he picks out all those little poisonous plants because they would kill him. Wolves, bears, burrs, brambles are all... they're all there that he around somewhere, and he keeps them away. He protects them. They are safe. He protects them and chases that danger away just as we are safe in the arms of Jesus. You anoint my head with oil. Flies, bugs, bites, cuts cover the foreheads of those tender little sheep and in their eyes, bugs in their eyes. And the loving shepherd uses his healing oil to soothe, heal, and bless those little lambs. This is a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit anointing us with His incredible oil, bringing healing and filling us with His wonderful Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over. I love this. In the far east, the Bedouins would fill a stranger's cup with water, water in the east being a precious commodity. But if they wanted the stranger to stay, they would fill it a second time. And if they really liked the stranger, they would let it overflow. It's kind of like, I love you, and it just overflows. This is a picture of our Lord's love for us, literally overflowing for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Is that not truly a picture of joy unspeakable and full of glory? And by the way, the nurse came back 2 weeks later. I didn't recognize her at first. She was beaming and filled with joy. Healed and happy and back at work, and she announced, I've already been back to work for a week. Just amazing. All I could say was, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, ladies, we are His joy, and He is our joy. And if ever you need it, Psalm 23 is a prescription of joy for you. Take the cure. God bless.